Okay, before we do Emerald Tablets, got a couple questions that would be of immediate interest. Ion, you ready? We're going. We're proceeding.
Of course.
Okay. The German Jewish scientists, like Einstein, in the patent office in Switzerland, in Bern, I think it was, wherever he was in Switzerland, in the patent office, he saw some of these strange patents. The Wernher von Braun gang that was aware of a lot of this new developed technologies and hid them away, and some of them are in Area 54. Are they aware of what the Emerald Tablets are teaching us about the two of everything, and you can go into those worlds?
Yes, they absolutely are, and that was the basis that they used the mediumship to come into that basic understanding regarding.
So how did they find out about it, you know, around 1900 or
kind of? The medium.
The medium told them, so they didn't know they were going to discover that.
Right. Well, that wasn't their goal. They just sort of dumped into it.
Yeah, I see. And do they have the Emerald Tablets, the ones?
No.
Do they know of the Emerald Tablets?
Yes.
But they have not gone through and analyzed them like we're doing.
Well, maybe not. I'm sure they have. If not, they're silly. They couldn't gain some of the places that they got to without it.
So we are making public what the elite scientists know.
Yes.
All right.
Unless we were careful there, because they're not the only ones.
Right. There's other people who know. Through his, that's been passed down in the oral tradition, like the Dalai Lama's lineage. They probably know a bit about this. Would you agree? They are,
yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, it resonates with them, you see.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Are we going to? We talked about the environment, the apparatus, the crystals that creates the environment. Are we going to provide that to people so that they can launch?
Sure. Want to?
Okay. So we're like the Walmart or Kmart of the distribution of the esoteric. Not to put it down,
it would be
mass level.
Yes, it would be. That would be the equivalent of a superstore.
Yeah.
A very superstore.
Of the secrets of history.
Mm-hmm.
And not just a place where you read about it, we'll be able to give environments.
Mm-hmm.
Is that? Okay, so is that information in the manuscript that was given Thomas Pynchon when he wrote Gravity's Rainbow? I would say it wasn't.
No, it was not.
Yeah, I would say the person who had the manuscript who gave it to Thomas Pynchon did not know that level.
Aspects of it were, because the aspects resonated.
Right, but he didn't have access to the Wernher and them discovering it.
No.
Yeah. Was that person who had the manuscript who gave it to Thomas Pynchon an American or a German? Or was he a witness to some of the events?
Lots of minutes, more or less. Not the way you're thinking about it, but indirectly, yes.
He was old enough to have been around Germany in the 30s and 40s.
Right.
Right, okay. What's Massa Minimus? Is that a Latin phrase?
Massa Minimus is Espanol for more or less.
Okay. You know, listening to the session for March 20th, the strange language was said in that one, Carolyn.
Oh, yeah.
And is there anything about that language Ion could tell us now? It implied it was English if you knew how to hear it.
Yeah, the easiest way to describe it would be the vernacular of the angels.
Ah, okay. Mm. The Nephilim.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have the Seraphim and the Nephilim.
Right, that brings up, okay, so what's the difference there, Seraphim and the Nephilim?
Well, you can Wikinew that.
Oh, okay. All right. But in actual fact, are they the same thing? Both?
Sure, you're creating.
Right. And what was the... In the first session, what was it about the vast crevice, Carol, that we wanted to ask from the first session? The rift. It was brought up... I better go look at the notes just a second.
Should email them to me.
Yeah. But the Nephilim, angels...
Bob's striding his way through all the entities in our house here.
Yeah. Oh, did you talk more about them with Ian?
No. We were just... I think we were telling Kelly, actually, the other night that... Ian said we moved into this house to accommodate all the entities we'd be visiting with.
Yes. Okay, I'm going down there. I'm looking through it. The first, the Nephilim, the Abomination, Lilith, the Flood, the ETs, but they weren't Boodians. They were from the vast crevice. Not a constellation, like an eyelash. So, the vast crevice, did we ask if that... Oh, yeah, we didn't ask that. So, Ion, in the first session, or second session, first recorded March 20th, we were talking about where the Nephilim came from. And Ion used the phrase vast crevice. Would that be the rift?
Yes, but now there's a little clarification. Angels and Go, they're the guardians of the Gulf.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you understand the Gulf, there's not two of, only one.
Oh,
because I thought we said there's two physicals and two non-physicals, and I meant two Gulfs.
There is, but there's not two Gulfs.
But there is two physicals and two non-physicals.
Yes, but not two Gulfs.
So
it might be an easy way to explain this that's simple. What you're asking is about the rift, okay? The rift is where can flow the physical, okay? If you can get to that place, and that's what you're asking to try to get it worked out,
yes,
I guess.
That's in the physical world.
Okay, but the non-physical world already is aware of that. That's how your physicalness is coming into the asking to even try to figure this out. Otherwise, why would the question come up the first time, you see?
Because we think it, it's been thought and have been created already.
And then has caused contrast or resistance to ask questions to better understand it, because Carolyn's beginning of days was, how do I disappear from this planet, go to another planet that's just like this, and then not only just go there to never return, but to also come back.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted the full Monty of that ability. And that's what set this whole direction of development of its understanding.
When did Carolyn ask that? A week ago, Carolyn?
No,
the beginning of days.
Oh, when we were talking about the Mayans, how they went into the Mayans went into the rift and didn't know how to get back.
Right, and we said we
were... No. Didn't choose to come back.
You were going to say, Carol?
Yeah, and then we just said, or I said, well, I want to go and come back.
Right.
And come back. That was the significant part.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying, Ion, because Carol thought that meant it
asked that.
She didn't create the reality. She was picking up at something that had been created.
Well, because the non-physical part of her knew that it was a possibility, so it was just like, okay, here's the possibility, now how do I achieve it?
Right.
And see, that asking then sets that a whole focused attention, and then you get a hold of it, Bob, and that's a whole nother thing of this whole world system thing that you play with most every day.
Yeah.
That comes into that whole reality that you can be the king of the world.
Right. The you think of the guff and then a ray coming out of the guff, and the ray splits into two rays. One is this world and one's the other world.
Maybe, but then what you're asking and what we're we're going to deal with tonight in this next habit is the dealing with the process of how do you go from this level to the other level without having to stay or process through the gulf. That's what the Emerald Habits are going to teach.
Oh, we can't go near the gulf because then we'd jump in and lose our soul.
Great. Now when...
Oh, you know, you wouldn't lose it. You would actually complete it.
Yeah.
There would be no resistance and there'd be no contrast that would even allow you to want to go to another world.
Right, yeah. We'd be drawn to that as completion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Uh-huh. And that, and then, and also including is where you would sift out or forfeit those unrealized creations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there, you have the rift. You also have in our world the future communicating back to us with the constant putting little pyramids in the Cairo area.
That's through the rift.
That's through the rift. Oh. So the past, present, future is involved with the two worlds.
Correct, because, and see, none of this would even have to be discussed ever, if humans had not found it important to create what you call time.
Mm-hmm.
Time.
See, so the whole wide world is based on this false premise of time. But then your church comes up and says you can come to church and have non-physical come and live in your heart, which is already there, but you can embrace it. And if you somehow can do that, then you can enjoy eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
So they got it from the even pre-Gutenberg, that reality. But then you added the time element, and then the time element just undid every part of that embraceable reality that time has no end. Wait, then there's no end, so therefore it isn't. So it's not time, it's eternity.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of saying, I don't have time to go, you could say, well, I don't have eternity to go.
Mm-hmm.
Or space. I don't have space.
Well, we're going to be jumping space soon, too, so don't go there.
No.
That's right. And if I could only, find the eternity, I'd be glad to have dinner with you.
So the infinity sign on its side.
Yeah, we're going to redo that too, but that was just a good beginning place.
Yeah, are there two of those?
Yeah.
That image does not include the other.
Right.
Yeah, okay. We don't.
Because, here's the thing now. Now you got to consider this a little bit. If you have a rift, okay? A rift that things can flow back and forth from. You have an eternity there, and you have an eternity here. But there has to be two eternities. The only thing there's not two of. Now, the gulf has two parts. It's dual, but there's only one gulf.
How can there be two parts? Why is it dual?
Because the gulf is fed from both ends, both dimensions.
It's got two departments, two parts.
A physical The non-physical okay. knows about it, and the physical knows about it.
Okay, because otherwise you could never get back. Think of it as a lake. Okay, think of it as a lake.
The gulf.
Body of water, yes. And it has two streams that feed it. Okay?
Yeah.
And it also has two streams that come off of it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's only one body of water. It has two streams coming in and two streams going out.
The stream, one of the streams going out, does it loop into one of the streams going back in?
Well, it goes into the body, and that body then flows out. So, which part of that body of water goes?
Right.
You know, that's the part. That's why there's only one goal.
Right. But when there's two streams coming out, two going in, are those
yes.
four streams connected? Other than through the body of water?
No.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so the two in are what, and the two out are what?
Name-wise.
Okay, the two in is when you croak.
Mm-hmm.
On this dimension, that's
right.
one stream coming into the gulf. And then in another dimension, you have a stream of folk croaking that come into the gulf.
Right.
And now down at the dam, then you have one stream that new babies are coming forth from.
Mm-hmm.
In this dimension, and then you have one stream that babies coming forth.
are they totally happening equally, the same events at the same time, or there are different events happening by same doubles?
That's a wonderful question. It's a wonderful question, but the answer that we would give to that question may sort of put you on your ear just a little bit, but we'll try. And you may have to ask again to redefine it, but it actually is a perfectly mirrored, experience.
Mm-hmm. Right, now kind of
that left and right, right and left. Now let's go all the way down. So therefore, in this dimension, if you go down to the road, you're going to the Polio Beach.
Yeah.
And you go down to the end of the street, you take a right. In another dimension, you might go down the street and take a left.
Mm. Totally, it's the same. But when we go to the beach, is our double going to the beach at the same time?
Not necessarily.
Yeah, so they don't have to be doing the same things at the same time.
That's correct, because guess what? The choice that you chose to make the relationship with your bride, Carolyn, may not have been your experience in another dimension.
Right, okay, so I...
You see how that would kind of turn you on your ear, and I didn't want to make that as a distraction.
No,
but I had to give it that way, just to get a base, just to digest that little bit, and then you'll have lots of questions that flow from that. But
well, I already
that's
knew
the
about,
easiest way.
Here's it. The Evergreens touched on this. I found
okay.
out from the Evergreens, once Ellie, Michael's wife, Michael the vehicle, said, what am I doing in Chicago? And Evergreens addressed her. Then after the session, I said, what are you talking about you being in Chicago? And she said, well, the Evergreens say there are several other parts of myself that exist based on the decisions I didn't take. If or decisions that brought me to Toronto, if I didn't take them, I would be in Chicago now, and I wouldn't have met Michael. And that is a reality. It's not as strong as this reality. And I don't want to get this value judgment, but anyway, she said it's not
well,
strong.
It's all right. It's
yeah,
all right.
Not as strong
right.
as this reality where she's in Toronto, but it is there. And then they said there's a B part, but I then asked, what am I doing in the life not taken, so to speak, the path not taken that is there, it exists, even though I didn't live it, but it's what would have happened if I didn't marry Carol, I didn't live here. And they said, well, it would have been based on if Carol had not accepted your marriage proposal, you would have been a bland accountant in San Francisco. And that's what's happening now. So we were aware from the Evergreens a bit about these other realities happening. And then they implied that when you die, pass on. It might have been a bit confusing about which one you were among all these other realities. Now, I don't want I undervalue judge that. It may be incomplete, but I can see maybe what Ian is telling us now is a completion of what the Evergreens were getting at.
Indeed. Many times that is the case because, see that now, if you took that knowing and apply it to one gulf with two streams coming in and two coming out, you actually could land in a pretty good understanding of that whole process.
Yeah.
So that's very good.
Yeah, so now we did that, Carolyn. So the idea of I'm an accountant. Okay, let's go back to that idea that Carolyn we didn't get married, and I'm an accountant. It's not that's a world not taken, but it exists. There is actually this mirror world where a lot of other things are going on, and they're not based on my decisions, or are they based on my decisions in this dream?
And if you'd have left time out of that equation, it would have been absolutely perfect words. Because, see, you just want to be a lover who loves, and you want somebody to love you, and you want somebody that you can dote over, and you want somebody that you can have the co-creating experience with. And that's that physical bond. It reminds you that your non-physical bond is also available. If you can bind with that, then it supersedes everything. Because if Carolyn was to have a change or something in her world, it would absolutely affect every aspect of your world.
Right. But
if Carolyn gets mad enough, you will me in your way.
Well, that's because I'm codependent.
No, that's
co-creating.
That's exactly right. You're co-creating. That's exactly correct. And that's an example of the bond between you, Bob, and your non-physical Bob. Same deal. Same. And it's a physical representation of that relationship between you and you, between Carolyn and you.
Okay, hold that thought. I have something that I was going to bring up an hour ago. But it was her name Jill, and what happened to Jill?
She married. She lives in Scranton, and you've got two kids.
Okay, and they're grown up by now.
Yes,
60.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Here's one. When I was talking to Carol, did we finish? I think when I was okay.
Miss Tanner. Tanner now.
Okay. Is there when?
2145 East 21st Street.
In Scranton, Pennsylvania. And that's not a future residence or a past residence. That's her residence now.
That's all we know now.
Right, because JW told me that sometimes the predictions of Ion, JW theorized, were more something happening in the future, not necessarily now.
They're all now. See, in our world, past, present, and future is only now. So if it catches up, then it catches up. And if you're behind because of your time, then you've got to wait till that your time allows it to be your experience.
Right. Okay, so...
You see the twist of that now? That's very good, Bob. Now, think about that just a second now. You've got to allow time to hit it on the nail of your nail. But if you had no time, then it would always hit it on the nail every single time, past, present, and future.
Well, that's the difference between 1-2-3-ing and 3-2-1-ing.
That would be a good example. There's a dynamic that you've got to develop with the continuum in order for that to apply so that the average bear could understand it.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing that you could go through a nasty problem and then have bliss afterwards, or that you can have bliss and then go into a nasty experience and that contrast. But that's all in the timing of that. Otherwise, you'd always be hit by the bus.
Okay.
If it were not for your timing that worked that out.
Right. Now, there was...
very good, by the way.
On your part, or the co-creation? The co-creation was very good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The me being the bland accountant in San Francisco that the Evergreen saw, is that actually the timeline or the experience that came out of connecting with Jill, if I got involved with Jill, or they just picked up some other thing?
They just picked up some other things, but you do. You're a bland accountant now, Bob.
Yeah, that's true. except on Wednesdays. Or it's like, thank God, it's Friday.
Especially on Wednesdays, because the blandness that you come into the place of being is you're just accounting what is and then giving the speech or the throwing the reference or inferences of what was based on what could be, based on what you see as the meme of the day.
Right, it's like the statement of
use. It's stacking up the numbers, and they add up this way. And stacking up the numbers, and they add up this way. Stacking up the numbers, and you can't get there from now.
Right, and that's my that's my weekly State of the Union address.
That's your CPA's review.
Yeah. Now, I said to Carolyn the other day, within the structure of being in consciousness, there has to be a double, another two of everything, because you can't know anything unless you see it through something else. Nothing exists in isolation. So just the nature of consciousness requires looking at something through another. So I was thinking that metaphysical principle...
Yes, except held in a vacuum.
What is held in a vacuum?
The duality. Everything is two of something except held in a vacuum.
There's no two of the phrase held in a vacuum?
In the physical or non-physical, that's correct.
There's no... The phrase held in a vacuum is describing a condition, and there's no two of that.
That's correct.
Right. And that is, does consciousness experience that?
It can.
But just making sure, like I used to say years ago, that I know myself by watching the person who I'm talking to react to me. I can't see my face. I watch their reaction to my face. So I need another, one other, the other, any other, to see myself. And if that's the
Except for the paranoid schizophrenics, and they enjoy conversation with themselves.
Because there's a doubleness within them, probably.
It's in them. That's why they call it bipolar.
Right, right. So that you can't escape. If you decide to cut off the world and talk to yourself, you're still being a double. You're still talking to yourself. There's two.
Yeah.
But so,
just as the same as you can have a relationship with your wife, Carolyn, and it be the only relationship that interests you, and it completes you totally and completely. That's not to say that you couldn't sleep with every secretary in the water and have a different experience, but that would still go back to your co-creating experience with Carolyn.
How would that affect the co-creating?
Well, it would be up to you to decide, you see. You create it as you want.
Yeah.
You hear stories of people who live multi-lives. They have two families, two wives, two kids, two grandkids, two, you know, different and separate everythings.
Right,
they
but I don't
navigate together.
Yeah, I don't know why you brought that in relation to the paranoid schizophrenic or the doubleness.
It was just another example of those choices and directions.
Right, but the I'm asking if that being and consciousness has to have the fact of looking through another. And that's why there's two of everything. Do you agree that's the basic reason? That there would have to be two of everything.
Yes.
Okay.
You said it right when you said basic reasons. There are multiple stacks of dynamics. But the basic reason is, that's perfect words. And in time, when you go back in a future experience and hear this again, it will prompt in you new discussions and questions. You'll remember, he said something about doing something else with other, that was the basic. Now, what's the next level? What's the next course cribbage that we're going to move through? And we'll develop that then, but that's enough for this second.
Right, but the guff, when you describe being in the guff, that sounds like there's no doubleness there. And that's why it's totally incomprehensible to our doubleness, naturalness here.
Well, it's a mingling of the two streams coming in, the two streams coming out. So therefore, you could have a stream flowing from the other dimension, and it flow into this dimension.
Mm.
And you could have a stream flowing from that dimension that flows into the other dimension.
You mean the two streams going into the guff is what you're saying?
Yes, and
right.
The two streams coming out, they could be intermingled, and that doubleness duality becomes held in the one class. Rather than two gulfs.
In the one what?
Place.
Right.
Okay, but when you describe, there's no thought in the guff, correct? There's no thought in the guff.
That is correct.
Yeah. So we think, how do you experience without thinking? That sounds like you're totally, get your face up against the windshield, and you're like totally involved. And that implies a lack of self-consciousness or thinking about what you're experiencing. That's what I mean, that the guff doesn't have the doubleness.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
The stretch, but yeah.
Yeah, it's an approximation.
Yes, that's good. And we'll develop that at another time once you come into a place of new lines of questions, because these questions are getting much, much, much more specific than they were in the beginning of days, you see.
Well,
because you have evolved into this space of asking. Oh, it's a marvelous.
Right. Now, I think one of JW's favorite authors is Kurt Vonnegut.
Yes.
There is one of his books, is Slaughterhouse-Five, and Carol and I saw the movie version around 1972 in Halifax, Nova Scotia. And I remember coming out of that movie and being paranoid or a bit frightened by it, even though it wasn't a horror movie. But there was something that bugged me about it. And I was just reading. Let me read you what it says. Or do you, you know the novel probably, right?
Yes, proceed though.
It's interesting what it says, because it's prophetic in a way, where we're at today with Ion. But those five, okay. Okay, here's how it's described. Plot summary. A chaplain's assistant, Billy Pilgrim, a disoriented, ill-trained American soldier, is captured by the Germans in the Battle of the Bulge. The Germans imprison him and other POWs in a disused slaughterhouse in Dresden. POWs and guards alike hide in a deep cellar. Because of their safe hiding place, they are some of the few survivors of the city-destroying firestorm of Dresden. For unexplained reasons, Billy has come, quote, unstuck in time, unquote. He is kidnapped by extraterrestrial aliens from the planet Trafalmador. They exhibit him in a zoo with movie star Montana Wildhack as his mate. The Trafalmadorians, who can see in four dimensions, have already seen every instant of their lives. That means they're looking from their deathbed back. One way.
Perfect.
Yeah. They believe they cannot choose to change anything about their fates, but can choose to concentrate upon any moment in their lives. And Billy becomes convinced of the correctness of their theories. He travels forward and back in time, reliving occasions of his life, real and fantastic. He spends time on Trafalmador, in Dresden, in the war, walking in deep snow before his German capture, in his post-war married life in the USA in the 1950s, and in the moment of his murder. Billy's death is the consequence of a string of events. Before the Germans capture Billy, he meets Roland Weary, a jingoist character who constantly chastises Billy for his lack of enthusiasm toward the war. At their capture, the Germans confiscate everything Weary has, including his boots, giving him clogs to wear. Weary eventually dies of gangrene caused by the clogs. In his deathbed, Weary manages to convince Paul Lazzaro that Billy is to blame. Paul vows to avenge Weary's death by killing Billy, because revenge is the sweetest thing in life, in quotes. Time traveler Billy already knows where, when, and how he will be killed. Paul Lazzaro hires someone to shoot him after a speech in a balkanized United States, on February 13, 1976. Now, when I read that, I think back that what Vonnegut was getting at is what we're learning now through Ion, and this movie presents a paranoid ending. The guy gets killed. It might have been that aspect, or was I just paranoid by the idea that you could get time travel?
The dynamic rubbed against you and made you master the possibilities that you already had some negotiation regarding. You had toyed with it just a bit, and the only reason it disturbed you is because it became a storyline that was vindicated from something that you were toying with. Otherwise, you wouldn't have noticed.
Yeah, it was something I was toying with already in my thinking.
It validated that thought process of those thoughts that you already had. And then you were like, wait a minute, I better slow down with this. It's getting out of control.
And why did I think that?
Because it was a physical mean that you experienced that you thought, wow, it really must be like that. Oh, my, well, it really could be like that. Oh, wow, where did he come up with this fictional, is
yeah.
that a word?
Fictional.
Fictional.
Yeah.
Process that you resonated with, and that would be almost disturbing, because then you had to either let go of it, or you had to embrace it. And if you embraced it, then you might find out the end of your time backward, and on and on and on. And so it was a little shaky.
Because it confirmed. Yeah. It confirmed something that was just in my imagination or fantasy.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, exactly. Exactly. Or a pretension.
Right. And you know, tension. You think of tension as tension in the muscles. Pretension is what you do when you pretend. You can act out something before you actually have to perform. Pre-tension, I was thinking that earlier. So that was very good. So what? How did Vonnegut come up with these ideas? Did he have some time travel personal experiences, or he just?
Well, no, some say he was just a card-carrying lunatic.
So he did he personally ask for Jack, say?
Yes.
Ah, so he kept that to himself, I guess.
Well, what would you do with somebody in the 70s that did that? You certainly wouldn't buy their book.
Right. So he, and how did he come across that ability innately when he was young, or he met some people when he was young and learned it?
He was bipolar.
Ah, bipolar anyways. Okay, so I think, Carolyn, that's...
And that's not a negative. That's not a negative. That's just the way it worked.
Mm-hmm.
So he was having conversations with his own, within his own mind.
Right, and he had an alibi by writing it out as stories.
Of course.
Yeah. So,
Yeah, Bob, let's go. You're losing my concentration here.
Okay, so I think that was good. There was some... Okay, we're going to do the tablets now. Well, very good, Ian. That was a good stretch of probing.
We enjoyed it immensely. Now, Emerald Tablet number...
did we get the point about Walter as a combination of me and JW talking about food, and JW talks about food, Walter talks about food, and then he does these other things, metaphysical things or questions. That was interrupted by a phone, so I'm just restating that point to Ion, that Walter in the movie Fringe is a combination of me and JW.
Mm.
To the degree that JW talks about food and I talk about the nutty stuff or whatever, the absent mind itself. Do you get that, Ion?
Yeah. Very fine.
So are we...
We have, I think it's 7 o'clock, so we have to ask Ion how JW's doing.
Right.
It's very interesting. This becoming a very wonderful... blossoming, blooming flow of information. What's happening in JW? It's almost like a floating.
Mm.
And it's almost, we would almost say, just sort of not a disconnect, but would almost activate. Not like a tiredness, because at rest and all that was good and planned, but as you get this wonderful, this delicious, this spark, it almost becomes like an energizing process. Then it's physical, it's like, it's almost like you're ready to go to sleep kind of thing, but not really.
Yeah.
So it's a way to describe it. It's almost like a fullness. I guess it maybe when you have too large of a meal, you're trying to digest it and kind of making the food makes you sleepy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Almost a little bit like that. See, it's just fresh and new. Hold on just a minute. Let's see how we're going here. Oh!
Are you saying that JW is feeling that right now?
Yeah.
Would he be in his pictures? Would he see pictures of his experience in the rift he had last week? Would that be coming into this as we're talking about it?
Probably. It's a big thing. It's not a really huge thing. It's a big thing because once you can do this, you don't even want to talk about it.
Right.
And see, that's sort of where he's coming from. It's like,
that's sort of like sex. You don't want to talk about it too much, maybe, because it's too personal.
Depends on the party.
Yeah, depends on the kind of person, the temperament.
Well, and then how do you learn and understand what you may be experiencing as a sexual experience? Maybe not sex at all, because people, some adolescents think you can get pregnant from finger kissing. So it's all in that. Process of understanding that whole process, and then when you get there, you go, aha, that's what it's about. And then as your relationship grows, you find out even more larger, more successful degrees of intimacy.
What'd you say, Ian, last bit?
It becomes a marvelous evolution creation.
Right. Now, the experience of that might not be something you talk to people about.
Correct. Now, in
over a coffee table, you might write it in a novel or a poem or something. You know what I mean?
Now, and in the loving, caring, careful relationship, let's take the relationship that Carolyn, Bob, and JW have. JW has it much freer to open up himself to them because he knows that there is great love for him there. He also knows that there is very little judgment regarding any aspect of his physicalness.
Right.
As Bob and Carolyn wouldn't care, because if they love you, they love you, and if they don't, there's nothing you can do to change. So once that comes into that place, it becomes a much easier way of interacting, co-creating at its best, which opens up a whole new paradigm. I mean, my stars, you can talk to JW about anything and pretty much have without any separateness or less than or any judgment of those positions, because you know you are where you are.
Yeah.
But you're right. You don't. You wouldn't want to do that in a public speech.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Now Carol's not here, so I was just wondering what are some other of my interests that we could go into. Oh, we're checking to see if JW is okay to carry on for a little longer.
Yes, here's what we want to do. We love to play all night, but why don't we do this? Why don't you play, Bob, with just any crazy thing you like or any questions that you haven't dealt with, and then around your 8 o'clock, which would be 2, if we get to a good even-off place, that might be appropriate.
Okay, good. All right.
Try that. And if it goes, if we get into something, you know, we can go a little longer, but try to use that as a balance.
Yeah, no, that's good. I was thinking about the UFO we saw visiting us weeks ago, and it was Carol and I waving at ourselves. Was that an imaging of going into the rift, or that's it was? Okay.
Yes.
When I had...
That was the easiest way to describe it, but let you think about it and develop it without spooking you into something queer or weird or so foreign that you couldn't resonate with it.
Yeah, if we were told about the rift like a month or 5 weeks ago, it would have been a little too much too early, right?
It would have shut down from the process, and that was more than you could grasp or embrace.
I can imagine we couldn't take it because we had to even get to the acceptance of, a UFO would come in here and see us. So we had to accept that.
We've just now come to the place that we can enjoy Snicker bars without any disdain.
That's right.
Right. I mean, because that had to come into a place because it all comes from your asking. Now, this ascension that comes in from the tablet, now this is going to fall right back in count. It's going to be so furious that we're doing this, but that's okay. This whole tablet business brings back an old art. It is a new experience. It is a future past that comes into a now note.
What was that word? Note? N-O-T-E?
Knowing. K-W.
Oh, knowing. Okay.
N-O-W.
Are you talking about doing the future back to the past like several cycles? When you went new and...
As many as you like.
Right, now what's...
Bob, as many as you like.
Right, I got
without
that.
Without end, without limitation. Pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. And if that's not the activation of bliss in your physicalness, if that don't set your woods on fire, then your wood's wet.
And that might be the rings around the infinity sign?
Yes.
Oh,
it's also the rings around Finnegan's Wake.
Yep. And I was thinking that yesterday, I think, well, why don't I just sit here and let Ion go in my head and do ESP? You can hear my thoughts. Can you get inside my head and I hear your voice?
Yes.
Now, it wouldn't be just my voice to myself. So,
well, it would be the non-physical part that is your voice and the representation that you can pick up on. See, because you set those rules.
Oh, okay.
You set those capacity.
So I would, if I wanted, I sat here now to hear your voice, I would or wouldn't, depending on whether I really allowed it or not.
That's exactly right. And that's the same thing that when we play with, and we have such great fun with playing with the pronouns.
Yeah.
Because that's signified in that. And you know what I mean. We're being so easy with it.
Yeah.
Every time when that's the case, it's typically when we're on some really great breakthrough where you're trying to get every single word.
Yeah.
The aha, right now,
yeah.
right now. And that's wonderful because that presses creation. That's 3-2-1-ing at its best, because it's kind of like, you know, instead of just throw the ball, which I love to do all day, every day, it's more like, I want to not only have you throw the ball, I want to catch it in midair.
Yeah.
You see, and when you catch it in midair, sometimes if you don't catch it right then, that's every single time it's been what we've experienced or noticed is when that's it's going to be caught. It's going to take a little bit of experience to bring you to that place, and then the next thing you know, you're asking the bam right on point question, bam right on point question, bam right there, bam right there, and every time it's a bam. And then that comes into your knowingness, Bob, and you're changing. You are changing. You are changing.
Yeah, now, am I changing my atoms, my proton, my...
You are.
Electron?
You are. You absolutely are. You absolutely are. Because, see, you have no resistance regarding that enlightened